Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Can you hear me now? How did you like our newest addition to the praise team today? God is so great all the time. Amen. We did? Oh, you talking about Eddie. Oh, yeah. Eddie's haircut, I didn't recognize you, Eddie. They said there was two new members. Yeah, I went to the barber. He told me I had kind hair. I said, really? He said, yeah, the kind you found on the dog's behind. I said, thank you, sir. I will not be coming back. Amen. Galatians, y'all got your Bible? Before you stand up, let me just tell you this. I had a guy talking to me. He said, my boss called me today. He said, is everything okay at the office? I said, yes, all under control. It's been a very busy day. I haven't stopped for a minute. Can you do me a favor, he asked. He said, of course, anything. What is it? He said, hurry up and take your shot. I'm right behind you at the seventh hole. It's been rough for the last couple of weeks. I'm telling you. So just in case I knew this, I saw this one crashing and burning. So, got to back up. It's a preacher joke. Every preacher joke's funny. All right. A preacher rode by one Sunday morning seeing a farmer and a church minister or member of his church at work harvesting. Brother, the minister lectures him, don't you know that the Creator made the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh? Yes, said the farmer, I know all about that, but he got finished. I didn't. All right, a little better. Okay. Isn't God good? Get your Bible out, turn to Galatians. Chapter 6. We got another couple. We got this week and next week, and we'll be through with this. Amen. God is so good. I'm looking forward to what God's doing with us and for us and through us and to us. God is so awesome. Every time we turn around, God just keeps blessing and blessing and blessing. I can't tell you just how much He just keeps on going. God is just such an awesome God. And again, you cannot necessarily tell His faithfulness when you're in the fire. But when the fire cools down, you can look behind you. If you can ever go and look behind you, you'll see, man, He was there all the time. He was taking care of business. I just didn't recognize it. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, stand for the reading of the word. Galatians chapter 6. A very powerful, probably one of the most powerful scriptures there is next to John 3:16 and Psalm 23. This is probably one of the most powerful scriptures there is, and it has a lot to do and say with how we act with God and interact with God and how we interact with others and how we even interact with ourselves. This is such a very powerful, powerful scripture. So powerful that instead of doing it all at one time, taking it over a couple of weeks so we can take our time and go through all of it. Verse 7, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not. Wow. We can stop right there. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You say, well, I haven't mocked God. Well, we're going to talk about that and see. You might think a little different after we get through the lesson here today. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Wow. Your output determines your input. Did you know that? Y'all say that. Your output determines your input. Somebody said, look at somebody telling that. Your output determines your input. Kind of different than what you think about. Normally, that don't even sound right in the economy of the world, but in God's economy, my output determines my input. What I put out is what I'm going to get back. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't give up. For in due season, at the proper time, we shall reap if we faint not, if we don't quit. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them unto the household, or the household of faith. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. God, you're a powerful God. You're a mighty God. We ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord, to help us see, to know, to understand what your plan is for us, Lord, and to move forward, not backwards. Lord, not to be stuck in a standstill, or not to be going backwards, but to be going forward. We trust you right now, and we know, God, that you've got this day. It's in your hands. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen. You can be seated if you can. If you can't, stand up and just stand up while I'm preaching. It'll be cool. Amen. The seven laws of the harvest. Matter of fact, when I get through, there's probably going to be eight laws. Amen. In the actual sermon series, but it's called seven laws, but there will be a number eight. I can promise you. Okay, now I'm just a couple. I do mean just a couple of slides from last week's. For those that weren't here, you can get caught up. For those that were here and weren't listening, you can get caught up. All right, that got a little bit more response than the jokes did. Okay, here we go. All right, so here we go. This is the year 2018. 2000 represents resurrection. 18 represents new life. 8 represents new beginnings. So this is a very powerful year that we live in. This is a year probably, if we don't see the Lord come back, that's my favorite event that should be taking place. If it doesn't take place, something very powerful and special will be taking place this year, I believe, that we're going to see something that we have not seen before. Amen. I believe this is the year. Amen. So, but in order for us to fully see what God has for us individually, even collectively, we've all got to do our parts. You know, think about the Three Stooges. They were duck hunting. And Moe or Larry, it was Larry or Curly One, shot a hole in the boat. And water's flying up. And so Moe says, do something, do something. So Curly shot another hole in the boat. He says, why'd you do that for us? I'm letting the water out. Yeah. So do something, but at least do it right, okay? That's what this is all about, learning how to do it right. God set up a system of laws, and his laws are universal. They're simple, they're absolute, and they're stable, meaning that these laws apply to everybody. Have you ever seen somebody that think the law applied to them? I've been like that before, and the patrolman showed me different. I've been like that before, and the policeman showed me different. I've been like that before, and the teacher showed me different. Amen. So a lot of times we think the law don't apply to us, but these laws apply to us, to everybody. They're very simple. You don't have to have a theological degree to figure this stuff out, and it's absolute. If it works one time, it's going to work 100 times. Amen. It's not like it works today and maybe not tomorrow, or it's every time. We don't have to replace the batteries in it. We don't have to worry about if it's 50 hertz or 60 hertz. It works every time, regardless of where we are at, and it's stable. It's not going to change. We can depend on it. Amen. So these laws, none of them are more important in these laws. The law of gravity. We talked about the law of gravity and other kinds of laws that is absolute. It even happens out in outer space. You see all these laws taking place. But the greatest of these is the law of harvest. The law of harvest, you say, well, that's a spiritual thing. Well, yes, it's spiritual, but not only is it spiritual, it's physical. Remember I told you, I've known some people along the years that were very prominent people in their businesses and prominent in the community, that didn't necessarily go to church, didn't even serve God, but they believed in godly principles and they practiced the principles. And as they practiced the principles, because these are universal and because they are stable and they're absolute, they practiced the principles and God always blessed the principles that they practice. That's exactly why Jesus says when he comes back, he's going to say, well, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do things in your name? He says, get away from me. I never knew you. It's because principles in God's word work. They're good. You can stand on them. You know, all these other books you buy, this is new and revised edition. We don't find any revised editions. All we find is different versions of what's already there. Amen? Because the Bible, look at somebody say the Bible works. That's right. Somebody says it's always worked. Okay, so here we're going to talk about the laws of the harvest. And as we're talking about laws of a harvest, again, this is the last couple from last week. And actually, by this time last week, we'd already gone through five slides. So we're sliding on through now. Amen? Just so you know what's going on, there are seven laws I'm going to talk about and three basic principles. And the first principle, remember this, let it stick in your head. Let it stick to your gut. Let it stick to your heart. Let it stick to your mind. Let it stick to everything you do. Let it stick at your job, with your kids, with your wife. Harvest is always a consequence. You don't just stumble up and get a harvest. Harvest, if you, the harvest that you receive is always, somebody say always. It is always a consequence. You will always reap what you sow. It doesn't matter what it is you're sowing, you will reap it. It's going to happen. It will take care of itself. You don't have to wonder about it. So again, here we go. Watch this. Now you only reap what you sow. Now let me just kind of clarify that. Directly, you only reap what you sow. Amen? That's the first law. You reap what you sow, but watch this, that's directly. Indirectly, you reap from what others sow. The whole church can hurt from one person. The whole church can rejoice because of one person or one act. The whole church or your whole family can have a good time, and one person can cause it to come to a halt or standstill, or one person can cause it to rejoice again. So again, directly, I reap what I sow. Indirectly, I reap what somebody else has sowed. But still, there's always something being sown, and I'm always going to reap this. Amen? So again, this is the last one from last week. Sowing always involves seeds. I got some, matter of fact, before I forget, I'll bring them one up here with me now. Amen. I went farmer shopping last night. Amen. All right. Sowing always involves seeds. Seeds equal potential. Now, I'm glad I went and bought these seeds last night because I ate an apple yesterday. And apart from the one I swallowed, there were six seeds in it. There were six seeds in this apple. I took them and laid them out by the coffee maker on a paper towel. My wife said, Linda said, I know you got a reason, and I hate to ask. Well, why are there apples? What are these? I said, they're apple seeds. And she says, well, why are they there by the coffee maker? I said, they're my illustration for the service tomorrow. Don't let me forget it. So guess what? When I go home and make my coffee later on, I have six seeds sitting by there, plus the one I swallowed, seven seeds in all. I'll be the only one in the house, so you can give the seed, pack of seeds, the six seeds to anybody else in the house. I have six seeds. You give them to me, I have seven. All right. There we go. All right. So seed equals potential. Seeds always produce a harvest. And, of course, harvest is results. So you can't say, well, I didn't realize what I was doing, and I don't see it as seeds because I talked to my husband that way or I talked to my wife that way. I don't see it as a seed, or because I did this in my business, I don't see it as a seed. I just see it as an action. Well, remember, those actions, what comes out of your mouth, your output, whether it's in your mouth or whether in your hands or whether what you do, your output determines your input. It's got a boomerang effect. What you do always comes back to you. Maybe not as soon as you might think, but it will always. Somebody again say always. It will always come back to you. So now let's go ahead and start on the next law. That was the first law. You reap what you sow. And again, I told you my mama, every time I stepped out the house, especially on date night, mama would say, son, just remember. She had a real high-pitchy voice too. And she called me Cricket. And she'd say it, but while I was getting ready, then she'd holler out the door as I'm going out. Cricket, remember, if you dance, you got to pay the fiddler. That was an old possum trap way of saying, you're going to reap what you sow, son. Be careful. Amen? So here it is. Watch this. We reap the same kind as we sow. You can't continually be mean to somebody, expect them to love all over on you and to have a lovey-dovey attitude all over you when you're always pushing them away and hitting on them and telling them you don't love them, you don't care, blah, 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 blah. Don't expect them to always be there and be lovey-dovey on you unless God's got a hold of them and God's helping them, because eventually you're going to get back what you're giving. You can't take your child and provoke it to wrath and provoke your child to wrath and provoke your child to wrath and expect your child to really respect you and to want to see what you got for them to have, because again, your output determines your input. So, you know, I see people all the time and they'll say, "You're looking good." And they'll go, you always say I'm looking good. I said, "Well, you know what? The time I don't say it, you might want to go look in the mirror." And so one time, somebody told me in church not long ago, "You just always tell me I'm looking good." I said, "The person with you?" They said, "Yes." I said it to him. They said, "No." And I went, "Okay." All right. So here we go. See, this is a law. If you take your notes, write this down, because this is very powerful. The law of reproduction. The seed always, y'all say always again, it's always, it's absolute, it's positive, it's going to happen. The seed always surrenders to the law of reproduction. I'm not going to take time to read all of it, but the Bible talks about the grass and the seeds and the plants and the trees and the sea creatures and the birds and the land creatures. And it says they're all going to produce, they're going to produce themselves over and over and over again. The bird does not produce a lion, and the lion does not produce a bird. The lion may eat the bird, and still he's not going to produce a bird. He's going to produce a lion after his kind, the trees after their kind. The law of reproduction is going to happen. Now, then we're going to go back to us now. It's not just natural seeds. Because watch this scripture here. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, shall he also reap. One of those words for soweth is actually saith. Wow. So whatsoever a man saith, that shall he reap. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. So your words from your mouth, your actions, whatever you do, God is watching. He is not mocked. You can say, "Well, he don't mean it for me." You know, like I told you about my daddy, we were watching a John Wayne movie, and we done watched it 20 times. I said, "Daddy, I really got to go." He said, "But stand down and watch it right now. They're right in the middle of this big fight with the Indians." I said, "I know, Dad. We've seen it 20 times. John Wayne always wins." He said, "But not this time." I said, "Dad, it's a movie. They didn't rewrite the ending. That's it." He said, "Well, you never can tell when it's going to change." I said, "No, the movie was already made. It's always going to end the same way." The same way, you can say, "Well, it don't count for me." I can be abusive to somebody. I can be verbally bad to somebody. I can be physically bad. I can do something to somebody in any kind of way, not help them or whatever, and I don't have to worry about it because it don't count for me. Wrong. Everybody, it always, say always again, it always comes back to you. Now, this day and time, they call it karma. I won't go into what they say about karma, but I hear about karma a lot. And what they're trying to say is, when somebody starts talking about karma, I'll say, "Yeah, what you reap, you're going to sow. I mean, what you sow, you're going to reap." So here it is. I love this. You reap what you sow, so make sure your seeds are good seeds. There's Garfield. I didn't think Garfield sowed good seeds. At least that's the dog anyway. Whatever that dog's name is. Cody, Hody, what is his name? Odie. I was close. Amen. So again, let's go ahead and go here. Ready? Ready? It says, whatsoever. Think about this now. Whatsoever. He didn't say just spiritually. Oh, he's talking about spiritual. No, everything. Whatsoever, whether it's a physical, mental, emotional, whatever. God has placed a law in action. And it will come back to you. Over the years, I've had uncles, and over the years, I've had workmates, and over the years, I've had other people that honestly, I just could not seem to get along with them. They couldn't get along with their own shadow. And many times, I would stay away from them, and the Lord would speak to me inevitably, or something would happen, and inevitably, I'd be stuck with them. And each time, the Lord would say, "Now show him, or show her, or show them how I do things." Talking about him. And so I'd start loving on them. And I'd start being interested in what's going on in their life and start talking to them. And it was so amazing because as I would start doing this, before long, I'll wind up befriending them and not just befriending them. They'd be great friends. And so I learned this a long time ago. What you sow, even in the roughest soil, you may not reap as much as you in the good soil, but still, it's going to come back. So now that's what I said. So whatsoever. So remember, we talked about the seed always surrenders to the law of reproduction, okay? And again, it's not just our natural seeds. Definitely. But think about this now. Again, I just talked about it. Our seeds are our attitudes and our actions. Anybody here ever had a bad attitude? Anybody here sitting beside a bad attitude? That's right. Guys, you say no, never. Never. Y'all say that. Here's your chance to get some brownie points. Not me. You might be talking to somebody else. It ain't me. I got no. I got my queen here. She, no, we ain't got a problem. All right. So now, your actions and your attitudes. Now watch this. So it involves you spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. You can sow seeds in all those areas. Think about this thing. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, along with natural seeds. The Bible talks about it. We're going to go through this right quick. This is such an awesome, awesome thing. Job 4:8 in the Amplified Version says, "As I myself have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble, troublemakers, mischief, and show mischief, they're going to reap the same." Those that can't wait. You ever seen somebody that can't wait to get in the middle of something and you think they're trying to help you? Instead, they're trying to get some information so they can make it worse. They can smear it. They can spread it, make it bad. You know, sometimes prayer request winds up being a tattletale session. Oh, come on now. Y'all got to help me out here. I got quiet. So now watch this now. Very carefully. Proverbs 11:18, New American Standard. The wicked earns deceptive wages, but he that sows righteousness gets a true reward. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So this, we reap the same thing. Not only do we reap what we sow, or don't we reap a harvest because we sowed, but whatever you sow, that's exactly what you're going to reap. That's law number two. There comes law number three. We reap more than we sow. Have you ever snapped at somebody and all of a sudden they come on you like a wild, rabid, whatever? You're thinking, all I said was, no! And I unleashed the gates of hell. Guess what? You reap more than you sow. I can tell you this too, when it comes to a conversation between two people, especially man and wife, but between two people, however the conversation or the confrontation starts, if it starts on a low note and starts with loving, kindness, and appreciation, and is in a way that's not accusing, then more than likely, you're going to find something happening in a good sense in that conversation, in that confrontation. It's going to wind up being productive. But if you start out right to start with, pointing your finger, and tell them how sorry they are and low down they are. They've already put up their walls. And they're going to look over the wall just long enough to shoot something back. So it's important. Remember this. This is so awesome now. The seed always surrenders to the law of reproduction. But watch this. The seed always surrenders to the power of reproduction. We always, always. Y'all say always. We always reap more than we sow. It's not my word. It's not what I'm saying. I'm not making it up so it sounds like a good sermon. Whatever we do, we're going to reap more than we sow, good or bad. That's the cool thing. You know, the wicked servant, when he saw that he was going to be lost, he wasn't going to be able to handle the stuff that his boss had for him, that his master had. So he went back and started cutting the prices of the people that owed money and started being a wise servant. And now he's handling things and he's cutting in some slack so they would cut him some slack. And the master came and said, "Hey man, this is some awesome stuff. Look at what you're doing." You see, he realized in order to get, he was going to have to give. In order to reap, he was going to have to sow. In order to sow good stuff, he was going to have to, or reap good stuff, he was going to have to sow good stuff. You can't walk around with a snotty attitude 24/7 and expect everybody to come love on you. You can't go to work and bark at your people and expect them to want to look. They'll work for you, but out of fear. Always, whenever I worked anywhere, and I always wind up being a manager. And whenever I'd be a manager, my people had always come to me. They could come to me with anything. They weren't afraid to come with me. They weren't afraid to talk to me because I told them. And when they messed up, I said, just come and tell me. We'll take care of it. If you tell me before you mess up, in case you are going to mess up, you tell me that you're doing this, then when you do mess up, I can cover you because I say, yeah, I told him to do it. So it's important with that relationship. So again, you always reap more than you sow. Now this is cool right here. I got some seeds. Can I get? Let's see, Brandon, come here, buddy. And Doug, I'll get the two youngest guys in here with his gray hair. If I wasn't even younger, I'd get DC and. Put your hand in. Y'all look what I'm doing. Some of y'all are getting lima beans. They're good for your heart. That's a heart food. Don't drop your seeds. You got some pumpkin seeds. Yeah. Y'all go around and give everybody a seed. Just give everybody one seed. Y'all can pick if you want what kind of seeds you want, but there's your seeds. You can get your healthy seeds. It's important y'all have this seed when I talk about this. Everybody got a seed? If you ain't got a seed, raise your hand. I got some magic beans, too, if y'all want to find a giant. There's a seed right there. Every time that thing gets thrown, the music gets better. Everybody got a seed? They're coming to you. If we run out of seeds, we'll plant these and get you someone to come up. No, I got some more. I got some more seeds. I got a sugar daddy pea. Never seen a sugar daddy pea, but that's what. You ever heard of a sugar daddy pea? That's what it's called, sugar daddy. All right. Some of y'all got Ford Hook lima beans. That's your heart medicine. And then some of you just got hearty pumpkin. Everybody got one? Did you give Don one? Did you give Don one? Now, I was going to get corn, but for two reasons. Number one, the corn didn't look much like, it looked so wild. I mean, it was wild looking. I mean, wild. Here you go. Drop them right here. Get you one. That looks like somebody's tooth. Okay. That reminds me. I was in Jimmy's truck one day. Bunk was there. We were at the Aurora Parade throwing out candy. And I was running out of candy. And Jimmy said, just reach down in the floor. There's a lot more candy. And I said, I can't see it. So he reached down in the floor and grabbed it and handed it to me. He said, throw it out. So I took the candy out of Jimmy's hand and started throwing it out. And there was Bunk Sadler on the side of the road. I went to throw at him. Jimmy had handed me a bolt in all of that candy. And I hit Bunk with a bolt. I did not. He just said, here's some candy, throw it. So I went, can you imagine Bunk? You trying to kill me? All right, get ready. Everybody got a seed. Everybody got a seed. Now, if this was corn seed, this would be the exact thing, but because it's not corn seed, you got to know that it's going to be somewhere in the line of this. But watch this now. This is so, so awesome. Ready? Here it goes. There's Steve, yep. He's off his airplane and in his tractor. Okay. Here's the law of reproduction. It's very powerful now. One kernel of corn. One seed, period, will produce, a corn will produce one stalk of corn. Everything you got in your hand will produce a plant. That's one of you. No matter what it is, it will produce a plant. We're talking about the law of reproduction. Now I've got this sugar daddy pea. Some of y'all got pumpkins and some of y'all have got beans. Now, if I wanted beans, or pumpkins, I can go plant these sugar daddy peas all up and down the row and put a sign up saying pumpkins. But guess what's coming up? Sugar daddy peas. Some of y'all got pumpkins. You can put a sign out saying, I'm raising lima beans, and put the sign lima beans. And you can talk about it and say, I'm planting these lima beans, and talk to them like they say, talk to your plants. When it comes up, it's going to be pumpkins. You reap what you sow. Watch this. Here it goes now. One kernel of corn. This is a scientific fact now. We're not talking, I'm not joking. This is scientific fact. On average, each stalk produces 3 ears. That's just on average, okay? Now, the average ear of corn has 250 kernels. Remember, you've only planted one piece of corn. You planted that one little whatever, and the vine's coming up, and you got all these peas, or you got lima beans, or you got the pumpkins. You got all this stuff coming up. One kernel of corn will produce one stalk. On average, that stalk will produce 3 ears. On each ear, there's 250 kernels. So one single kernel of corn will yield a 750% increase. Wow. One kernel of corn, one seed will give us 750% of corn. Now, some of us even more than that. But whatever it's going to be a very high percentage of increase. So now, my question is, what you need? What is it in your life that's lacking? I'm not even going to look out there when I say this. Let me know if I say, he looked right at me. He's talking to me. How many of you ever said, nobody likes me? Everybody hates me. Every time I get around everybody, they get ill. I try to be good. They just don't understand me. I'm high strung. Why is it? And no matter what I do, nobody helps me like they helped that guy over there. You know, it reminds me of the three guys that were building a skyscraper, and they're up there, and every day they went to sit on the same I-beam up there. I don't know how many stories high up in the air. And the guy said, ah, salami again. The next guy said, ah, bologna again. The next guy said, peanut butter again. The next day they go to eat, the guy says, oh, salami again. The other guy said, oh, bologna again. The other guy said, peanut butter again. He says, if I get another peanut butter sandwich, I'm going to jump. The next day, there was bologna, salami, and there was a peanut butter sandwich. He said, like he said, he jumped. They went to the funeral home a couple of days later, and they're talking to his wife. And they said, it's got to do with the, I can't understand why he jumped. So it's got to do with his lunch. He said, if you made him another peanut butter and jelly sandwich, he was going to jump. She said, but that's why I don't understand. He makes his own lunch. One seed. What are you planting? What? How are you acting around folks? How are you acting around other people? When I went to work at Fountain Power Boats, they put me over and put me with the engineer and sent me right over to the engineer, the vice president engineer, and he was from Connecticut. He talked with that Connecticut talk, and he was all, I mean, it's hard to even understand him. And he's talking. And I said, you got to wait a minute. I got to write this down. And so I'm writing this down. And before I left, I was told, you got to act very professional when you're around these people, and you got to hold yourself prim and proper because you're talking to the vice president of engineering. I get in there and I went in there and said, what's happening, man? You're looking good. And I gave him a little high five, and I sit down, and he goes, starts talking. I said, you got to hold on just a minute. And I start writing stuff down. He said, what is going on? I said, you got to slow down. He said, why? I said, because you're talking northern, and I'm listening southern. And I said, about the time I said that, I said, oh, no. Somebody told me to be acting prim and proper. So I sit down. I said, there goes my job. I sit down. As I'm sitting down, he goes, you're hired. And he was going to hire me as a process engineer. He said, but tomorrow when you come in, it's going to be a little different. I said, really? He said, really, just be in here tomorrow. I came in tomorrow, and I already got a raise. And he said, you're not going to be a process engineer. You're going to be my control manager for all the problems. I said, why? He said, because I believe you'll know how to talk to people. You see, again, put out. How you putting out? What are people getting? What are the vibes they're getting from you? There's some people you get around them, and I'm even, look, there's some people I see them come around the corner. I can look at their eyes. I'm in Walmart. I see them come around the corner. I'll hide in the peas in the frozen section. Because I can tell by looking at them, they're getting ready to tell me something I don't want to hear. And they're going to tell me 15 times. And it's all going to be bad. You see, again, let me ask you a question. What do you need? There it is. It's so simple. This is the simplest stuff. Simple. I can't say it anymore. So simple. We reap what we sow. See there, look. Some of us, that's our life. All those dried up spots and all those cracks, and some of us have got those nice little meadows. I'm going to talk about that, but let me ask you a question. Where do you see yourself in that? Do you see the nice little meadows with the flowers, or do you see the dried, cracked ground? Sometimes God puts you there to teach you something. So it's not always what you've done. Sometimes it's what you're going to do, and God needs you to be ready for it. He'll put you in those places. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just from you, what you reap. So here we go. Get ready. The seed always surrenders to the law of reproduction. It also surrenders to the power of reproduction. And watch this. This is powerful. It also surrenders to the path of reproduction. We always reap where we sow. Went outside one day, and the man's looking for his keys. It's dark outside, and he's looking for his keys. And I said, what are you looking for? He says, keys. And I'm looking with him. I said, you sure they're over here? He says, no, my car's over there. I said, why are you looking over here? He said, the light's better. Really? Listen. If you need something done in your marriage, don't be trying to sow into somebody else's marriage and get all in their mess. You better be sowing in your own marriage. If you got a problem in your job and in your department, you better be sowing in your department and in your job. If you got a problem in your family, you better be sowing in your own family. And watch. I'm not saying to be a back away from everybody else. What I'm just saying is, I can't sow over there and expect to reap it over here. Okay? Watch this. This is powerful. If you want a better marriage, sow into your marriage. If you want a better work relationship, sow into your work relationship. If you want better personal relationships, then you need to sow in those personal relationships. I can tell some people, some people just have they're fun to be around because they know how to have this kind of a sarcastic, joking way about them that you just love to be around them, and they'll say stuff and you go, yeah, blah, blah, blah. That's fun. I'm not talking about those. But there's some folks that their whole life is bitter. And I'm not talking about because they're happy and have that little sarcasm. That's fine, because that's joking, that's carrying on. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody that's bitter and angry. And they're bitter and angry, and they're around everybody, and they're sarcastic about everything, and they're always harsh about everything. I've been around some of those people, and when I get around them, and I know I got to be around them, what I always do, I know, because the negative in your mind takes up about 600% more space in your mind, a negative thought than a positive thought. So in order for a positive thought to even have any effect, you've got to sow at least 7 positive thoughts to overcome that one negative thought, even start on it. So if I come in, there's negative thoughts going on, then, and I'm human, and I do mess up too, we all do. if you don't mess up, then you need to wear a cape, okay? And have a little hat and sit at Walmart with this crystal ball and, you know, whatever, bumps on it. For the most part, if somebody comes to me and they're having, especially if they're having a bad day, but they come to me, and I start putting positive. You're looking good, man. You know, you really do a good job with that. Blah, blah, blah. Dude, that's looking good, man. I really enjoy working with you. I remember, some of y'all have heard it. I remember one day I get a call, come to engineering now. One of my people said, David, come now. Anki, who was military and was a bodybuilder, was in there, and he was huffing and puffing and mad, and his big old arms were going, I said, tell him just to calm down. What's going on? Said he done gotten a fight out in the assembly line, and he's getting ready to go back, and he's going to tell them. He told me he could never come back to the assembly line, blah, 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 blah. I said, calm down. Everybody take a deep breath. I'll be right there. So I go into the engineer, and I said, tell me what's going on. He said, I was just talking to the girl, trying to find out. My job was to talk to her to find out how to do this process. The head of the project man or the plant manager come in, saw me talking to her, and assumed that I was trying to talk about other things, but I was talking about, how do you make this work so I can write it down? I was documenting. And said he took it all out of context. He cussed me like a dog out there in front of all those people and told me to get out of assembly and went and talked to the COO and told the COO, said I want him out of here never to come back again. He said, it's done. He says, I said, let me handle it. So I said, God, you got to help me. I got to be positive. You got to really help me. You really got to do something. And so on the way there, I'm praying all the way there. And I go down in the assembly and I see the COO, the head man. Matter of fact, at the time, he was called the vice president of manufacturing. He comes up and I said, can I talk to you? He said, sure, David, what you need? I said, no, I need to talk to you. He said, why are you talking? I said, no, I mean like in private. He said, okay, let's go. So we go in the office down there and we walk in. The first thing I did was I put my arm around his neck. He said, what's up, buddy? I said, I got to talk to you. I said, it's about Anki. He said, I figured that's what it was. I said, hold on. He said, well, Anki went blah, 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 blah. I said, no, that's what they assumed he done. I said, but I'm going to tell you what he was doing as far as what he told me. And he goes, yeah, but I've already told him to keep him out of here and he can't come back and blah, blah, blah. And I said, is that any way to be? We're all here trying to make Mr. Fountain look good. We're all here trying to make money so we can all put food in our mouth and roots over our head. He said, you're right. I said, aren't we all adults? He said, you're right. I said, well, look, man, do me a favor. Just call the dogs off. Let the man come back out here. If he has another problem, call me. I'll deal with him. He says, so you'll deal with it if it happens again? I said, I'll deal with it if it happens again. You let me handle it. He said, okay, you can get him back. I said, how about I go tell the plant manager? He says, you go tell him. I said, okay. So I said, where's he at? He says, in that 38 up there. So going to 38, he normally walks around with a clipboard telling people what to do. But this day, they had just barked him out. That's why he was so mad, because he had just got reamed out. And he was inside of a bathroom. We call it the head. He's in the head, and a little bitty head, and he's working. He's sweating, and he's looking bad. He's looking rough. His hair's all rough. He don't look like he normally looks. He's in there. He looks like he'd been attacked by a pack of wolves. I walk up to him. I walk in there, and I said, how you doing, Kevin? He says, ugh. I said, you have better days, ain't you? He said, yes. I said, I'm here to talk to you. He says, I know about Anki. I said, yep. He said, well, I know what I told him. I said, well, I went and talked to Bill. He said, I knew you would. I said, we're all just trying to make a living here. We're just trying to help each other. He said, yes. I said, and Anki wasn't trying to do any harm. He was doing what I sent him down here to do. He said, yeah. I said, well, how about do me a favor? He says, what? I said, how about just... Bill said he could come back, but I just want your blessing. He said, well, Bill says he can come back. So I could have gone down and pointed fingers. You know, I could even had somebody fired. That won't solve anything. So I just said, I want your blessing. I know Bill said he could come back, but I want your blessing. He says, well, okay. I said, then I told him this. I said, well, do me another favor. He says, what's that? I said, Anki said you cussed him out. You cussed him like a dog. He said, well, I did get a little animated. I said, well, here's my thing. He says, well, I said, next time you decide to cuss one of my employees, do me a favor. He said, well, I said, call me on the phone and cuss me. He said, I would never cuss you, David, in a million years. I said, that ain't what I said. When you've done it to one of my employees, you've done it to me. What did Jesus say? I said, so next time you want to cuss him, you call me up and cuss me. He said, but I would never cuss. I said, you heard what I asked you. He said, I got it. So Anki went on back to that work. I hadn't worked at Fountain in years. Kevin weren't working there in years. Kevin was working somewhere else, and he was in Walmart one day. He was all the way across the store, and I heard somebody holler, David! David Linton! Of course, I hear that all the time when I'm in Walmart. But it was him. He ran to me and put his arms around me and cried. He says, thank you for the way you handle things. Now, what did I do? I sowed for a specific thing. I sowed it, and I was patient as I sowed it, and I waited, and it came back. Amen? And it came back positive. So now watch this. Look, if you want a better spiritual life, then sow spiritual things. You really can't just put God on a shelf and never look at His Word, never talk to Him, never sing to Him, never do anything to Him until you need Him. That's what happens to a lot of marriages. We just don't talk to each other anymore. We don't have anything to do with each other anymore until we have a problem. And then by the time we get together to help take out a problem, we're so disconnected that it's hard to, we've got to connect before we can work on the problem. And it's hard to connect to work on the problem because we're still trying to connect. That's a problem in its own. We've got a problem trying to connect while we've got a problem to try to fix. And it's impossible to connect the problem of connection and the problem of fixing at the same time. And so you have to stay on top of that. So here it is. Watch this. And I'm almost through. Somebody say amen. Amen. We still got plenty of time. It's 11:45. We still can beat the Baptist and McDonald's. Okay. Unless what was those Baptists meet once a month? They're the original Baptist, whatever they are, meet once a month. You ain't going to beat them to McDonald's. They're already there. They didn't have service today. All right, ready? Get ready. Remember, you reap more than you sow. So what do you need? You need love. You need some joy. You need peace. You need some help. If you need love, joy, peace, help, relief. Sometimes our help, when we need help, is physical. We need physical help. We need mental help. We need financial help. We need spiritual help. If you need any of these, your output determines your input. If you can't put it out, don't expect it to come to you. You can talk a good game. I hear people all the time, I was going to do that. Well, going to do that is not doing it. Going to do that, good intentions, you've heard that, the highway to hell is paved with good intentions. I'm not talking about good intentions. If you need love, then you spread the love. If you need joy, then you spread the joy. If you need peace, you spread the peace. If you need help physically, mentally, financially, spiritually, then you spread it. Here's my challenge to you, and I'm almost through. Ready? Quit placing blame and start planting seed. Quit placing blame and start planting seed. It's their fault I don't have any love. It's their fault I'm doing this. It's their fault, their fault, their fault, their fault. No, just plant. 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 If you can plant, it's amazing. It will come up. We're going to finish this up next week, but here's what I want to ask you now. Let's see this now. This is something. That's not my apple. Yes, my apple didn't look that good. That seed was about that big, though, because I choked on it. Ready? Did you know you can count the number of seeds in the apple? That's why I had them. I had six in the apple, six on the counter and one in me. You can count the number of seeds in an apple. You can't count the number of apples in a seed. Let me say that one more time. You can count the number of seeds in an apple. You can't count the number of apples in a seed. The power of a seed. Remember I told you they found some in the pyramids and they've been there for thousands of years and they've planted them And when they put them in soil, until they were in soil, they were in a bag, they were not moving. They didn't have any moisture, but as soon as they put them into soil, they grew. A 3,000-year-old seed grew once it was put in a position to grow. Some of y'all got some seeds in here. It's not 3,000 years old, but you got some seeds in here that you've been holding back a long time. And if you'll plant them, it's amazing what will happen. You got relationships that really would be a whole lot better if you quit waiting for them to make the first step and you try. There's in here, you got jobs that your boss, you get along better with your boss if you learn to talk to them first instead of waiting for them to talk to you. They're your children, whoever, just anything. Name anything, anything. Because it's whatsoever. If you want to see it change. Now, don't expect you go try it one time and it's going to work, because that's what we're going to talk about next week. We're just getting started. This is the stuff the second week. Third week's going to talk about how long it takes for it to come back. On the back of all of these, on the back of all these seeds, it told me, and it was really cool. As I looked, it said, plant five plants. These are the beans. If I wanted to go in a container, plant five plants in a 12-inch container. Plant it 6 inches deep, and then wait for how many days I tore it off, how many days for it to come to harvest. This, plant them 1 inch deep, plant 1 inch deep, and put them 6 inches apart, and they'll come up in how many days. I tore that off. Oh, here it goes. Let them stand 4 to 6 inches apart when seedings are 1 to 2 inches high, and then the crops will come out, and assume, I didn't still tore off that part. And again, it tells you how deep to plant it, when to plant it, and it tells you how long it's going to take before you see anything come to pass. You can't dig it. You can't plant a seed today and then go, because you don't see a harvest tomorrow, go dig it up and curse the seed. You plant the seed and leave it alone. It may come up the next day. It may come up the next month. It may come up the next year, but you got to plant the seeds. Now, here's my question to you. DC, y'all, and BJ, y'all get ready. Here's my question. Let's just put it here. When God tells us that we will reap what we sow, He's not punishing us. He's telling us how things really are. Wow. It's a law. It's a strong law that cannot be broken. Here it is. Here's my question I'm getting ready to ask you. Try it again. It's going to come up eventually. Now I got to sow it and wait for it to come up. There you go. What are you sowing? What's coming up? Positive. Or negative. There's been folks over the years that I planted seed and planted seed and planted seed, and it took months, even years, for it even come to pass. I worked with a guy for 10 years. I kept planting seeds. He was an atheist. I just kept planting seeds. I didn't plant seeds like telling him how he's not bound for heaven, how he's bound for hell, and blah, 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 none of that. I just kept planting seeds. I kept showing him God's love. No matter what we did, I would show him God's love. I was being a sermon to him. I weren't preaching one to him. At the same time, there was another guy who had backslid, who had led me to the Lord. He had backslid. His name was Bud. And every chance I got to call him for something at work, because he was working upstairs, I'd always ask him, how's he doing? God loves him. He's never gone too far. While others were beating him up, I just kept telling him, God loves you. God loves you. He said, man, whenever you call me, I hate to see your number pop up. I said, why? He said, because you're going to make me cry. I said, I'm not trying to make you cry, but I'm just letting you know God loves you. It's going to be okay. when I left Procter & Gamble, these two guys came to me, a backslider and an atheist. The backslider came to me and put his arms around me, cried, and said, "You know, I hate to see you go." He said, "But I can give you a promise," and it hadn't happened yet. He said, "One day we're going to be on the same podium preaching together." I said, "Really?" He says, "You don't know just how much it's meant for me over these years after I backslid for you to be telling me that God's got this and it's going to be okay and I can come back to God and God's got this." He said, "I'm telling you, with tears in his eyes, we're going to be preaching on the same podium one day." The atheist come to me, who showed no emotion most of the time, put his arm around me. My last night, put his arm around me. With tears in his eyes, he said, "I've been an atheist most of my life." He said, "I've never told you this." He said, "But working with you, you showed me there is a God. Just by the way you act." He said, "I just wanted to thank you." It's the last thing he told me when I left the plant. Very last thing I heard. He said, "I just want you to know this. Because of your actions and because of your love, I know there is a God, and I thank you for leading me out of atheism." And I never knew it. Never. Until the last night. Again, what am I saying? You can plant seeds, and you may not ever see them come up, or they're coming up, and you don't even know it until somebody lets you recognize it. Those two guys, my last days at Procter & Gamble, come up and told me that. Wow. I was preaching at Bayview, and one of the guys from Fountain come out there and said, started coming to church there, and he said, "I want to come to church here." And I said, "Well, that's cool." I said, "You hardly talk to me at work." You know, I didn't say it to him. I was saying it to myself. "You hardly talk to me at work." I didn't even know he was coming up here. I had no idea. You know what he told me? I said, "I'm glad to see you." I said, "Anything I do to help you, let me know, because I know I'm going to be working with him on Monday." And he worked in another department, and he told me, here's what he told me: "I'm here today because I want what you got, and you show it every day. I want that." Now, he's faithfully serving God and doing some awesome stuff for God. Am I trying to say anything about me? Nothing about me. It's nothing about me. I'm talking about the seed. The seed. You may not see it come up right away. You may never see it. But no, when you get to heaven, you're going to see a whole lot of seed. Because remember, that one corn, that one little piece of corn, 750% yield. And that's just off the first stalk. Can you imagine the stalks that are planted after that? How big the harvest is. Some of y'all in here right now, you don't even realize it. Some of the stuff you've done, some of even the smallest stuff you've done, when you get to heaven, it's going to be so greatly rewarded because your one act produced thousands upon thousands upon thousands of acts. Think about that. It may be a little cumbersome. You know, yesterday, I was tired. I had to write a paper. I was working on this sermon. I'm going to preach this afternoon in Vanceboro. I had to write a second sermon for Vanceboro. I'm working on all this stuff. I got stuff going on, trying to fix. I got all this going on. And this one guy texted me and said, "Man, we need to talk. We need to talk. I can't get to you. Can you get to me?" I looked over at Linda. I said, "I'm so tired and I got so much to get done." I said, "But this guy needs someone to talk to. Y'all don't know him. This guy needs somebody to talk to. I barely know him." And I said, "Okay." And I drove to his house and spent a couple hours with him. When I left, he said, "Thank you for taking your time." Again, that was a seed planted. And there's going to come a time when I need that seed to come back. God's watching. He's not mocked. What you sow, you're going to reap. And you're going to reap more than you sowed, and you're going to reap it where you sowed it. Remember that. Let's all stand. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to ask first, because I don't want to make a spectacle out of you, and I won't. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you need to know Him, that's the very beginning of all of this. That's the very beginning, sowing the seed of spirituality. That's how you start reaping spiritual stuff, is you got to know Jesus Christ. If you're here with nobody looking around, and you need Jesus in your heart, would you raise that hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. I need him. I need him. I need him. Maybe you're here today and you got disheartened because you sowed some seeds. And you were expecting them to come up and flourish in front of you, and they haven't come up yet. Matter of fact, it could be because you sowed them on some thorny ground, or it could be that the person actually did respond, but you didn't see it. You got disheartened, and you about decided to quit sowing seed. Because all it does is cause pain for you, because you're not seeing response that you want to see. I'm here to tell you right now, it's a promise from God. It's not mocked. If you sow it, it's coming back. That's part of it. If you sow it, it will come back. God is not mocked. The seed will not mock God. The seed has to submit to these laws that I told you, the law of reproduction. And the path of reproduction and the power of reproduction. It's got to submit. It has no choice. It is a law that God put in action. God is not mocked. You will see it come back. If you sow negative, you're going to receive it. If you sow positive, you're going to receive it. If you're here today and you'd say, you know what, I've done some sowed some seeds and I'm about ready just to quit the whole thing because I haven't seen a whole lot of output, anything, nothing but pain. And I need God to help me one more time to get up that unction in me, to step back in there and try it again and again and again. But nobody looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed, would you raise that hand and say, would you pray for me? Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Give them that gumption they need. One more time. One more time. Let them see it. Let them experience it. Let them know that they have not planted any seeds in vain. They will come back. You were not mocked, God. You said they would come back, and they will. They have to submit to the law of reproduction, to the power of reproduction, and the path of reproduction. They have to. The seed has no choice because God said it, and He said, don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not mocked. It's going to happen. Maybe you're here this morning and you just need God to give you a good old shot in the arm because things have been tough. You're believing, but your believer's about stuck. Or your believer's running on empty and you're needing God to show you something, do something. You just need some help. But nobody looking around, every eye closed. Would you raise a hand and say, Pastor, I need it. I need it. I need it. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Help them with that believing. Get unstuck. Help them, Lord, to feel it, to know, to understand it. It's not based on feelings, but still let them feel it. It's not based on sight, but let them see it. God, in the name of Jesus, it's time. It's time. It's time. It's 2018. It's time for new life. It's time for resurrection. It's time for God to be God and let Him show us again how powerful He is. God is awesome. If you raise your hand for anything, you have another need, you need God to touch you in any way, come on up here. This altar's open. Come on up here. You need to pray. This altar's open. Come on up and sow some spiritual seeds before God and watch Him bring them before you. God said, don't underestimate me. I'm not mocked. What I said will happen. It's not me saying it, it's His word. He said, I'm not mocked. What I sow, I will reap. It will come back. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. You can count on it. It's coming. It's coming. God's got this. God's got this. God's got this. It's coming. It's coming. God is awesome. God is amazingly awesome. He said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. God will give you favor where you never expected it. God will put you in the place of people that you never expected to see. But the Bible says your gift will make room for you. Part of that is your seed is going to come back. You can trust it. You can trust it. You can trust it. Your seed will come back. Don't forget, sign up so they can get the steaks ready for you. Sign up for the spring fling. Those steaks are really good. But we need to have many to cook, so you got to sign up. And also chicken. Also on Tuesday nights, we're having a very relaxed, it's very relaxed. We're over in Sister Dorothy's old room talking about trials. This is our last week on trials, and then we're going to go into God's purpose for us. Amen. Every heart and mind clear. Y'all are looking good. Anybody tell you that? With the exception of a few, and I'm not going to mention, I'm playing.
Thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. As we go forth this day, let us sow the good seed so that we will reap the good harvest. Let us be the example for others to follow, so when they see us, they will see you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.